Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's that time of year. It's Advent. It's also that time of year for my throat to get scratchy. Maybe you guys are experiencing that too. It's just like you snap your finger, it's coming. So bear with me here tonight. Dear friends, how exciting it is to watch an Oregon State Beavers football game. I took flack last Sunday for not mentioning the game, so here, I'm saying something here. Jerry, you should be happy, okay? What a great game. How exciting it is when they're playing the Oregon Ducks, especially when it's in the fourth quarter, and especially when it's right around the two-minute warning. Did you know that the two-minute warning hasn't always been with football the way that we experience it today? Colin, you may know this playing football. But back before the 1960s, the players, the fans, and the coaches, they didn't know how much time was actually left in the game. The reason why was because there was only one official game clock, and there wasn't even the stadium clock. The official game clock was the referee's wristwatch. So when the referee heard his watch go off, 2 minutes is left in the half, he would blow the whistle, stop the game, walk over to both coaches and all the players, and probably some of the fans heard it at that moment as well, and he'd announce the two-minute warning. That's how it was. Then in the 1960s, the NFL stepped in, and they changed the official clock for football from the referee's wristwatch. Did you know this? No? This is new information. Yeah. Well, they change it from the referee's wristwatch to the stadium clock. That's the official clock in football. But when they did that, they, of course, kept the two-minute warning because it kept kind of the hype and excitement for the game to announce that there's only 2 minutes left. And then they probably also left it wide so that they could cut to commercials and get more money for advertising and so forth. That's the way it worked. Still to this day, colleges, high school teams, NFL teams, they all have something that's called a two-minute drill. It is a conglomeration of plays that they practice and they put together that are bold and kind of accelerated and fast that everyone knows about. So that way the teams don't have to huddle and they can quickly play in the game. You know this quite well. Still today, there is that two-minute drill. Warning, that drill that's played in football. Now, I share that here to open up my message tonight because I think Advent season is kind of like a two-minute drill. Do you notice that things are getting busier? Do you notice our schedules are kind of getting clogged up? Do you notice the busyness at Safeway and Bi-Mart? Do you see all that's going on? The clock's kind of ticking, isn't it, so to speak? Advent is a season in which there is something that's coming down the road. That is December 25th, and we've got to get all those things done. The decorating, the cooking, the baking, whatever it is, the wrapping, the planning of outdoor activities, all those good things. The clock is ticking. Time is short. Now, behind all this, there's a theological concept, and that is that Jesus is coming. Yes, he's coming as a baby, but the end is coming. That's what Advent was originally for. Not actually the coming of Jesus as the baby, but the end, when he ushers in the end of world history is coming. 1 Thessalonians, this little letter was written with kind of a similar theme behind it. There's kind of a two-minute drill, so to speak, throughout this letter. It's weaved in. Paul is communicating to this church that he started, the Thessalonians, that the end is coming. Verse 10 kind of mentions it, that the wrath is coming, mentions it in words there. And these Christians need to think about plays that they need to put forth, activities that they need to act maybe differently because time is growing short. Now, what are those plays? What is the two-minute drill that Paul's suggesting? I'm going to have some hints here as we go through our text in a moment. But I also want to say that these things that I'm going to mention here, these plays for Christians, as well as Christians in the 21st century, will greatly help us this year. This is a dark time. Darkness outside, looking outside, and some people go through hardship through the darkness that happens outside. It's It's a challenging time. There are high expectations for how the holidays may go. There's busyness, and that means there's going to be probably some disappointment in how the weeks are going to go just in front of us leading up to Christmas. And there's longings for how things maybe used to be in our lives and the connections that we have with loved ones that have passed before us. These plays that I'm going to share, put into practice, two-minute drill, will settle us and calm us and let us live with focused attention, as a football team does with 2 minutes left in the game. Play number one, and the notes are in your bulletin if you want to follow along. Play number one is to rest in grace. If you look at verse one, this is how this letter starts. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, there's three guys together writing this letter, and then they're telling who they're writing to the church of the Thessalonians. Then there's this preposition, in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. To his addressees, Paul's saying that they have a position in grace. Before he ever talks about what they are doing that they shouldn't be doing, or listing what they aren't doing that they should be doing, by putting that little preposition there, you are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is communicating that they can rest in grace.